And welcome back in the Morning Drive, hour three off and running here on this Friday. We are live from Kitchen Notes inside of the Omni Nashville Hotel. Nikhail Braden-Gall, Derek Mason, the Constable Chase McCabe. As we get it going here on a Friday, hour three, Teron Davenport is joining us, Titans reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com. TD, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
Hey, what's up, man? Hearing that stadium talk, that's pretty exciting. I hope some of those things could come to fruition.
Give you a nicer workplace for eight Sundays out of the year, right?
Well, listen, man, it's mandatory. They have to keep that level of that viewpoint from the press box, man. That right there is right in line with Carolina and Baltimore is the best in the NFL.
So I'm reading your column yesterday, and obviously the schedule release came out, and you have the Tennessee Titans improving upon their 9-7 mark in 2018. What did you see in the schedule that makes you think this is a double-digit win team?
Well, it wasn't so much the schedule as it was the team as a whole. I think mainly this coaching staff, I really have confidence in them to help this team take the next step. That's really what it boils down to. And if you look last year, obviously – Delaney Walker was gone, but then look at some of the games, man. The Bills game, they had no business losing that. You know, you look at the Chargers game, that's a game that they could have won. I just think that there were some things that didn't bounce their way that caused them to, you know, have that 9-7 record, and I could see those things going right this year. It's just like in 16 compared to 17 for the Eagles. I'm not saying the Titans are going to be a Super Bowl team, but what I am saying is that this is a team where I think they could get hot and go on a streak and have some things go their way and be in a good situation. That's the way I look at it. Obviously, there's some difficult parts of the schedule. I mean, you know, these quarterbacks that they're facing, whether it be Mahomes, Drew Brees, obviously Watson twice, you got Andrew Luck twice, man, it's not a good situation. And even, you know, Nick Foles is in the mix too. So it's definitely going to be tough, but I think – just as a unit, you know, this team, I see them improving.
It's funny, Teron, I'm the same way. It's not necessarily the schedule. You know, they only play seven teams that made the playoffs last year. But it's about the team and the way it's constructed and the coaching staff. And answer this for me. Why is it that Mike Vrabel, we get wrapped around the Marcus Mariota axle every second of every day. Why is it that Mike Vrabel is the most undercovered part of this entire process here, and that he might be the most important piece of it?
Yeah, that's a great point, man. I don't understand that, you know, and that's even why a couple of weeks ago I tried to do that article about Vrabel doing so much at these pro day workouts. You know, I think just his ability to relate to players and make those emotional deposits, it makes him such a good coach. And then you have these guys who, you know, they love him, you know. And when you have a coach that you want to perform for, you know, as a professional, you go out and perform regardless. But it just makes it that much easier to not point fingers when things go wrong. And that's something, that streak that they won last year, the fact that they didn't, you know, you didn't have the offense saying, hey, defense has to stop giving up 20-plus points and all these big plays. And then you didn't have the defense saying, hey, you know, we got to score more than 17 points a game. They just circled the wagons and they powered through it. And look what happened. They had the win streak at the end. I think that's a testament to Mike Vrabel and what he's able to do. It's not easy to keep these guys from pointing fingers. And that's something that, you know, it just goes underreported. And, you know, I accept part of the guilt for that. And we as a group have to do better on covering this head coach who is a guy who is an outstanding coach.
Now, Teron, we had obviously the schedules, they've been out, but who and when, well, when they play, what time that play finally came out. Are you surprised that, you know, considering this team has been 9-7 over the last 3 years, with huge, big victories over New England and Philly last year, that this team did not get a primetime game? Now, I know toward the end of the season, like the last five, six, seven games of the year, it can be flexed out, and they can potentially get a Sunday night game. But are you surprised they did not get one, you know, main game on television other than the Thursday night game?
I am surprised because when you have a team like the Chiefs on the schedule, You know, that's something. And you have the Saints, right? So these are teams known for offense. The Titans were the number three scoring defense in the league. I would think that's something that would be attractive to watch, you know, where as two forces colliding. But the Texans game on Monday Night Football, I think that one, you know, hurt them last year. It's just one of those things where they love to see high-scoring offenses. And let's face it right now, that's something that the Titans don't have. Even though defense is a beautiful thing, it's not a beautiful thing to the casual viewer. So, really, they're trying to keep those ratings right. And, I mean, I thought they would have at least two or three. To have one primetime game is definitely something that, you know, isn't good. We'll see if we could get some of these games flexed, man. You know, Monday Night Football, man, I love covering Monday Night Football games. There are zero on the schedule this year. So the only thing they could do is go out and win and put themselves in a situation where next year they're on some Monday Night games. But, yeah, this year's schedule is just it's not a good one when it comes to primetime.
Teron Davenport joining us here on Morning Drive. Earlier this week, the Titans got back to work, and one of the takeaways from Monday was that Marcus Mariota had put on some extra pounds, you know, to absorb more hits. Obviously, the intention, durability to sustain a full 16-game season. Is this something that you noticed that was, you know, visually noticeable? And is this something that it could actually lead to Marcus actually sustaining for 16 games? Because we talked about it with Derek, and Derek's point was, well, yeah, you get to two-a-days and you get to camp, you're going to shed all that weight off. Mm-hmm. Is this sustainable for Marcus?
Yeah, Derek makes a great point, man, because those two-a-days where you're sweating and, you know, it's harder to eat the way you ate during the off-season. And you're going to lose a lot of weight that you put on. So it could definitely be something that just kind of washes out. But he was noticeably bigger. I will say that. And the thing is, you know, you could see it in the upper body. He worked the bulk up, and he said that he is able to maintain his athleticism. So we'll see how that goes as we work through some of the process, you know, leading up to training camp. But if he can somehow hold that weight, I think it'd be good because he will be better able to absorb some of the hits. But, you know, the fact of the matter is we want to minimize the hits. I mean, that's the mindset that they have. You know, you have to know when to give up on a play, right? You have to know when to go down. You have to get rid of the ball a little bit quicker than you have been. That will help you avoid the hits. And that's the biggest thing that they have to do. So regardless of what the weight is, he has to adjust some of the things he does as far as his play is concerned.
Yeah, having an offensive line block a Baltimore Raven at any point would be helpful as well. And Saffold's supposed to be a part of that. Do you expect Marcus Mariota to be completely fully healed and healthy and all the nerve stuff, no lingering issues when the entire team reports and they're actually going through training camp? Do you actually expect him to be 100% ready to go?
I do. I mean, they said that the best thing for that whole injury is time. So he's had plenty of time, right? So I think he'll be good to go. He said that he's not 100%, but he said he doesn't have a personal development plan or anything like that. He's all in. And, you know, if anything comes along that doesn't feel right, he said he's going to report that and just really be smart. So I think everything is pointing towards him being ready. And, you know, the thing is, I'm not a big advocate of Ryan Tannehill, but he's a guy who has played in the league, right, and found a degree of success in the league. So now that push, you know what I mean, to continue playing is going to be there. So I wonder how that's going to impact his pain tolerance to go out there and play when maybe he shouldn't. You know what I mean? You look at last year. He had no business playing in the season finale, and he didn't. But I wonder, you know, if a guy like Tannehill was there, how that whole thing would have evolved, if it would have gone, you know, a different course.
TD, good stuff as always. We appreciate it. Thank you very much, buddy.
For sure. Take care.
Teron Davenport, Titans reporter for ESPN. We'll come back. We're going to get back to the Predators. Game 5 is tomorrow. I have been given a stat That is very, very telling. You're not going to want to miss this. That's next here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.